So hello again and welcome to another episode of Quick Question with Soren and Daniel, the podcast where two best friends and comedy writers ask each other questions and give each other answers. I'm one half of that podcast, writer, author, and namaste at home dog dad, Daniel O'Brien, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Soren Bowie. Soren, say aloha.
Aloha, ladies and gentlemen, and mahalo from Los Angeles, the birthplace of the mahalo and the aloha. I'm Soren Bowie. I'm one half of this podcast. I'm a writer for American Dad, and I pronounce it Hawaii. I know a lot of people want to say it Hawaii, but not this guy. This guy says Hawaii, and I think that that's got to be okay with you if you're from Hawaii.
I really thought, I was going to get you. I thought I was going to trigger some anger in you with namaste at home dog dad. And I thought if that doesn't get him, then surely aloha will, because I have a very specific memory of the first time I got back from Maui, and I went back to the office, and I was like on island time, meaning I was super relaxed and chill, and also playing up how on island time I was to annoy all of my friends. And you bit within the first day because I was wearing a shirt from Maui Brewing Company. And as you saw me walk by wearing it, you read the back and you're like, does that shirt say brewed with aloha? And you were so mad about it.
I get, for as protective as I am about Colorado, a place where I haven't lived in 22 years. So I think people from Hawaii are even more so. And like, it drives me crazy. It should be something that I would take and internalize and then be like, okay, well, how can I make this better? But I don't. I just don't like people from Hawaii because of the way that they talk about Hawaii.
I see.
And like, and that they bring that aloha spirit with them everywhere really makes me upset. yeah, I remember when you came back and you were playing up island time. That was, it was a fun bit for a while. Yeah. Thanks to BetterHelp for supporting Quick Question. For 10% off your first month, go to betterhelp.com/QQ. Start living a better life today. Let's thank Honey for supporting this episode of Quick Question. These days, I feel like online shopping is the only shopping I really do. It's a free browser extension that scours the internet for promo codes and automatically applies the best one available at checkout to whatever I'm buying. Go to joinhoney.com/QQ.
Thanks to Skillshare for supporting Quick Question. Skillshare empowers you. It's an online learning community that offers membership with so much to explore, real projects to create, and the support of fellow creatives. Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/QQ and get a 1 month free trial.
But there, so every, I'm sure you do this too. When you listen to somebody else talk, you're sitting there thinking of six different things you want to say.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then whatever the, like the last three are, you're like, well, maybe I'll get one of those out. But you went through the namaste thing and I did a, like a bite, like a, and it really reminded me that my, at the beginning of the pandemic, and I don't know how they got these out so fast. My mom sent my son a shirt that said namaste 6 feet away. And I was like, all right, thanks.
Yeah. A reference that I'm sure he loved.
Yeah. And I can't put him in that. He's representing my family. Well, how humiliating. I mean, I'm not for the other kids, but the other parents are going to be like, well, let's see your, oh, okay. Namaste 6 feet away. And
really communicating a whole lot.
It was like, well, maybe it'll be like around the house shirt. We've all got those. And, but my son doesn't wear clothes around the house. He runs around in just his underwear at the house. Things have gotten a little feral at our house and, he doesn't wear shirts. So this is just a shirt that he's just never worn. Well, this is to say that I think namaste is silly.
Shirley must have outgrown that shirt at this point.
No. So they stopped growing so fast. At a certain, so like he still can wear some of the clothes he's had for over a year and a half.
Wow. Namaste small, huh?
I don't know what it is. I think maybe like at 5, 6, 7, like they stop growing for a little bit. Huh. They don't get as big as fast. They get kind of long and gangly and then it stops for a little bit. But, it made me think when I saw the shirt, namaste 6 feet away, and the way you said it as well, it sounds like somebody saying, nah, I'm going to stay 6 feet away, which immediately saying no at the beginning of whatever you're trying to get across when you're using namaste feels like it's antithetical to namaste, right?
Well, I think if I'm remembering this correctly, and this is either born out of something I misremembered from a podcast or something I misremembered from like a novelty t-shirt that I like happened upon in Kohl's, where the original context on the shirt is like, you want me to wake up early and go to yoga, ? Namaste in bed.
Yes.
So I like the na is certainly intentional in the origin story of this very funny bit that everyone likes. But what I did is I made myself a namaste at home dog dad.
Yeah.
But you're like, still preserving. It still preserves the no. Like, I'm not going to go out. I'm a stay at home dog dad.
But you kind of mean it, right? Because you are doing some meditation and you are still. So putting the no at the beginning of something that's namaste, do you feel like you're antagonizing the namaste?
The sole target of my antagonism was you from the beginning.
Okay, great.
Everything else is friendly fire.
Whoever else I kill with these sniper jokes along the way, that's on them for walking out in the middle of this crossfire. That's great. But I loved your intro. I want to say that first of all. I don't say this enough. Your intros are always great, Dan.
That's good. I really appreciate that because you're doing the next one. How do you feel about that?
That's fine. I'll do one.
Hell yeah.
The thing is that after I get done with it, you're like, that was maybe the worst one I've ever heard.
Yeah. So maybe like
try.
Use that energy to fuel you, you know?
Okay. I'm going to go dark horse on the next one. I'm going to go something completely out of left field that you won't even see coming.
Okay. That's great. Let's get into the show where we ask each other questions and give each other answers. And let's start by not doing that. It's story time again from Daniel. I wanted to just fill you in and take your temperature on something. So I moved recently. I don't know how recently.
But not permanently. Did you move permanently or are you in a, for lack of a better word, a hermit crab of the Jersey Shore right
I'm
now?
I'm a hermit crab of the Jersey Shore. I have a lease that's a little over a year. So it's not permanent by obviously any stretch, but I'm like settled here for a year, which is nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's a house that's very close to the beach. I love it. I'm very happy. I have neighbors on the second floor. A very nice man who lives with his son sometimes, and that's who this story is about. we've had nothing but positive interactions, and then one day he knocked on my door, and he was very. This was not a conversation he wanted to have. I could tell, and he like kept apologizing over and over again, but it was a noise complaint thing. And from the beginning, he was like, "I want you to know I'm really chill. I think it's great having you here. There have been no problems at all. You haven't had any problems from me. I'm super chill. I'm a very laid back guy. I was just wondering." The music, could you maybe, just on weekends, wait until after 10 a.m.? And I thought this is a very reasonable request. And I felt and feel terrible. Because I get up pretty early. I'm up at like 6:30 or 6:40. I do my morning meditation for 20 minutes. And then I'm ready to start my day, which generally begins with playing a song out of my speaker. Like a song that'll get me pumped or a song that I will just start dancing or moving to or something. And like, if I'm blasting Do You Want to Taste It, the theme song for Peacemaker, as I've been doing for the last couple of weeks at 7 a.m., absolutely unacceptable behavior. That's maniac behavior. and I'm telling him this like, oh my God, of course. Absolutely. Like pick any time. Doesn't need to be 10 a.m. Like, just text me if my music is ever too loud and I will do something about it. But like, he was like, really just weekends? Cause I work so much, and on the weekends, just like a couple of extra hours sleep is really important to me. So just not, no music before 10 a.m. And I'm like, great, no problem. And then he continues and he says, I'm really down with the whole music thing. By the way, I produced bands in college. And then I thought, oh fuck, he means bass playing. Because like, why else would you bring up I produce bands? And now I'm even more embarrassed. I had no idea that I was playing bass that early. It's certainly possible because, like, my day starts early. I assume the rest of the world's day also starts when mine does. I am super apologizing. And then he continues. And he said, again, it's just early on weekends. And it's not that bad. It's just please not so early. It's not bad. Actually, my son was here the other day. And he said, your voice, you actually sound pretty good.
What?
That's when oh, no. It's about me singing.
Yeah.
That early in the morning. That is the most embarrassing and least acceptable possibility that I am apparently before 10 a.m. on weekends, and I have to assume every day, singing loud enough that other people can hear me. And I don't even think about it.
Bleeding through your walls, singing so loud?
And I wasn't even, it hadn't occurred to me that it was something that I was, certainly now I know I do it. And like even the next day, I had an extra early morning, so I decided to do my run in the morning instead of at night. And I got back from my run at a little after 9 and started singing when I walked in the door. I was like, oh, fuck me. I guess I do it a lot.
Are you singing? Hey, it's Soren again, coming to you to say, what's interfering with your happiness now? It's always something, right? There's always something. It feels like it's just in the way. You feel like you're on like the second or third rung from the top of happiness. I'd say 60% of the time, at least that's me. Well, BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You can connect in a safe and private online environment so it's convenient, and you can start communicating in under 48 hours, all without ever having to leave the comfort of your couch. I don't know. I don't presume to know where you use your computer. I would assume on your laptop on the couch. Maybe you've got a Papa's on. I don't know. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if you need to. I think a lot of people end up going to a therapist and thinking, I don't know if therapy's for me. And a lot of times that's because the therapist they had was just not a great match for them. You got to find the person who's right for you, and BetterHelp makes that very, very easy to do. BetterHelp is more affordable than traditional offline counseling, and financial aid is available. BetterHelp also offers a broad range of expertise and stuff that may not even be available at a brick-and-mortar therapy shop in your area. Boy, it really makes me sound like I don't know what therapy is to say that there's the brick-and-mortar therapy shop. Just trust me that I understand, and BetterHelp is helpful. Anything you share is confidential. BetterHelp is convenient, professional, and it's affordable. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions and send a message to your counselor if you feel like you need to. These licensed professionals cover a wide array of subjects, from depression and stress and anxiety to trauma, self-esteem issues, relationships, family conflicts, sexual and gender identity. The list goes on and on. So start living a happier life today. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/QQ. Join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. That's betterhelp.com/QQ for 10% off your first month. Thanks, BetterHelp. Thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is a free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. So whatever you're buying online, you'll get a little drop down, and Honey will go through the entire internet and it will look for coupons for the exact product you're buying to see if it can save you money. Honey supports over 30,000 stores online, and they range from sites that have tech and gaming products to popular fashion brands and even food delivery. So imagine you're shopping at whatever sites you prefer to go to. I recently was trying to look for some shoes for my son. He's very hard on his shoes. He's at that exact age where, you know, the tops are getting as much use as the bottoms because he's crawling around on them and stuff and scraping them all over the sidewalks. And honestly, I have no idea. It comes on with chalk on them, and I don't think he's used chalk all day. I need to get him some new shoes. And so I was looking online. I found a pair that I thought would be really great for him. I went to buy them, and I thought, oh, I should use Honey. Used Honey, and I ended up saving $12 on kids' shoes. That's basically how much kids' shoes cost. And I'm not the only one. Honey has found over 17 million members over $2 billion in savings. If Honey finds any working coupon, you just watch the prices fall as it saves you money. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out. It's literally free and installs in a few seconds. And by getting it, you'll be doing yourself a solid, and you'll also be supporting this podcast. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/QQ. That's joinhoney.com/QQ. So you're not singing while you play bass. That's psychotic behavior. Let's
put a pin in that, but okay. So now Sting is psychotic.
There's not enough bass. I mean, there's not enough of the rest of the music to like bridge the gap between bass and lyrics for you to just be playing bass and singing along with it. There's so few songs where bass is so prominent and forward that you'd be like, yeah, I know that song just from the bass line and you could sing along to it. I'd say there are 10 in existence.
I will play music from the speaker and play bass and sing at the same time I'm playing bass.
Okay, so you're playing, that's what I was wondering. You're singing along to songs that are playing.
Yes.
And they can hear you over the songs.
Yeah. And I think the thing that he's probably reacting to, because I can't do a whole lot of songs, I can't sing a whole lot of songs and play at the same time. And when I do, I'm not not really performing it vocally. I'm just trying to get that coordination down. So I'm assuming he's reacting to me fucking going for it with currently the original Broadway cast recording of Full Monty. Because there are a lot of great songs to sing at 7:30 in the morning.
That's rough.
It's fully humiliating. He's super chill about it. I can't think of a better person to be dealing with this, the problem of me, than this guy who's like, it would be totally reasonable if he was like, hey, can you stop singing the same songs over and over again, you fucking lunatic? And all he's done is like, please, sir, just a few hours on the weekends, just before sunrise, please.
The way he approached it is so nice and the perfect way. He was, that's like, there's no better way to come up to somebody and be like, hey, I'm sorry for this intrusion in your life. You have accidentally been intruding on my life.
Right.
Here's how. And I would do the exact same thing as you. I would be like, I would be like, I'm so, so sorry. I'm so sorry I introduced myself into your world like this. Like, I will do whatever I can to fix this. But boy, he's hearing you sing.
I know.
And so you have to move.
He's hearing me sing super early in the morning. And his son and his partner hear me sing.
You talk about how you assume that everybody else gets up.
That means people walking by can hear me sing. I guess I always knew that was a possibility. But none of them ever talked to me about it.
Yeah. Do you have... this isn't a neighbor on one side.
So here's why I guess it must be super weird because... sorry, can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Fuck. Siri, go away.
No.
How do I make Siri go away? Siri, disappear. This is insane behavior.
Leave all of this in, Gabe.
Hey, can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Could you hear me that whole time?
Yes.
I couldn't hear any of you. And
Siri, disappear.
Yeah, she wouldn't do it. She just popped up and just taking notes of everything I said. I didn't understand how I summoned her. I don't even know where I am anymore.
I don't know either. See, people who are walking by can hear you. And this guy does he live on one side of you?
He lives above me.
Okay. So presumably a neighbor's on sides maybe could even hear you?
Perhaps, yes.
You talked about how you just assume that everybody gets up at the same time as you and starts their day at the same time.
I never thought about it that explicitly. I just thought my day starts, so the day starts.
Right.
And everything that I do is fair game. In the same way that oh, go ahead.
I got a text from you this morning.
Yeah.
At 5:19 a.m.
Yeah.
So that all tracks for me. I've done the
Boy, that must have been urgent. That must have been a really urgent text.
It was about the podcast.
I had some thoughts about both our podcast and our upcoming guest spot on Alex Schmitty's podcast. Yeah. And they couldn't wait.
No, they couldn't. They had to get up. Well, to be fair, though, to you, I know that you also go to bed early. And when I come up with something or I want to talk about something at 8 o'clock at night, my time, I'm like, whatever, maybe he's up and I'll just text you. And I'm sure that there are times where you're asleep and your phone lights up the room and you're like, what is this? Okay.
I am asleep. Like, never worry about texting me late because my phone goes
Soren has watched Warrior, the movie. Yeah.
That's right.
That's great.
My phone goes on Do Not Disturb pretty early, okay. So it doesn't do anything to ruin my life. But the singing thing, I've now told this story to, like, friends and family. And Susan, childhood friend, beautiful voice, who I work out with every Monday now, she was like, this is great. It's always good when a person is, like, singing in their house, in their life. It means they're happy and they're full of love and joy, which is a fantastic perspective to have on it. Also an easy one for her to have because she's got the voice of an angel and people right. like it when she sings. But I saw my brothers the other day, and both of them, after the story, they were like, I never do that. I'm never singing. I'm never singing in the house or anywhere in the world.
But they have families.
Yeah.
It's different. Well, are they driving? Do these brothers of you know, do they know how to drive cars, Dan?
They do. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
That gene skipped me, unfortunately.
That's the only opportunity in which I would ever sing in my life now. Because yeah, at home, I'm not going to do it because my family is right there. And I feel very silly about singing along to a song at the top of my lungs with my family right there.
What if they were not there? Would you sing in your home?
Yeah, I might if, like, the moment takes me. But even then, I'm not sure that there's a song that, like, I really feel that I'd be listening to it in the middle of it. I'd be like, I gotta get this out!
Man.
And I'd start singing it. But I also don't like my voice either, so that might be part of it.
I don't think
I'm an unhappy person.
Love my voice either. But I also, I'm not. It's rare that I'm, like, moved to burst into song. I put on music that I know I'm going to sing to.
Okay, so
like,
when
I planned playlist of, like, whether it's the full score of a Broadway show or, like, I like singing these 8 songs, so I'm going to put them on while I cook and sing.
Okay. You're also playing... I forgot that you're also playing music as you do this. When I would play
sometimes,
a lot more guitar...
Sometimes.
When I used to play music more often, I would do a lot of singing. And when you're playing, I'm singing at the top of my lungs when I'm playing. I'm sure that neighbors in my old house might have heard that. But it was such a rare thing that I would do, and it was certainly not in the mornings.
Man.
I'm... For somebody who's so etiquettely minded... like you. I'm really surprised that you are doing this early in the morning.
I didn't think anyone would be able to hear me. I wasn't doing it at my apartment. Well, maybe I was. Now I don't know. My neighbors there never would have said anything. They loved me.
Yeah. Well, I have a quick question for you that's related.
Yeah.
You're living in a new place.
You know
place
what's crazy
right now?
Though, real quick?
Go ahead.
I'm not going to completely stop singing. I think that's probably what he ultimately wanted. I think this was like the gentlest way of him letting me know, hey, in case you weren't aware, I can hear you every time you sing.
Yeah.
And like, you know, message not received, buddy. I will take your note and keep it within normal business hours. But I'm not going to, I know I'm supposed to be more embarrassed of this than I am, but I'm just not, sorry.
Not going to do it.
Nope.
Do you ever hear him upstairs? That would give you some.
Yes.
Okay. There you go. Then I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah. And that's why, like, I'm super fine with all of his criticisms and asking me to stop singing. At first, my hackles went up a little bit because I thought it was just, he could hear me playing music out of my speaker all the time. And that seemed like an unfair criticism to me because I can hear his TV at night when he's up much later than I am. And I don't say anything about it. And I was never going to say anything about it because I was walking into this thinking like, but the unspoken social contract is that we're both just upset sometimes. And that's okay. That's what living in a house with thin walls gets us both. But that's not the situation we're dealing with. It's not one guy put out because another guy's watching TV at 11:30 and the other guy's singing at 6:30 in the morning.
Yeah. Oh, Jesus. Do you hear conversations?
No.
Okay.
What do you mean?
Well, can you hear, you wouldn't even be able to hear like what they're actually talking about, but you would hear them.
No, I can tell like, oh, he's on the phone right now.
Oh God.
But I don't know what he's saying.
Oh, that's terrible. Oh, I would hate that.
Why?
Because that means whatever you hear, they can hear in your apartment, which means that.
He can hear this podcast now, or he hears that I'm doing a podcast?
I don't know that I didn't even consider that. I think that your voice would be low enough now. Unless, God, you can actually hear him just when he's using a normal tone. You can hear that he's definitely on the phone.
I don't know. It's a good question.
Because how would you ever have sex in that place? How would you ever do anything in your life that requires noise without thinking about the fact that there's somebody else who hears all of that?
Oh, every time I have sex, I cover it up by singing. That's my trick. That's how no one knows.
I hope you like Broadway, baby. Are you familiar with the Full Monty?
Yeah.
Because you're going to get it in two ways.
Is that a bass? Yeah, I'm trying to get better at doing a couple of things at once.
Just go with it. I'll raise the strap so it's not bumping into you. I have a question.
You're not that great of a singer or bass player. Yeah, that should set the tone for what's going to happen next, too. Skillshare is an online learning community. You've heard us talk about them. They have been a wonderful sponsor of ours for months, and we've both taken so many classes from Skillshare because there is so much to explore and real projects to create, and you've got the support of fellow creatives along the way. Skillshare empowers you to accomplish real growth. Use Skillshare. Use them. They can help you make 2022 a year of new learning, growth, and connection through creativity. Skillshare's got classes for lots of things. Gardening, photography, storytelling, music. Skillshare has a class for it. I have taken dozens. Whether you're a dabbler or a pro, a hobbyist or a master, you're creative. Discover what you can make with classes for every skill level. Experience real improvement with hands-on projects and classes designed for real life. Skillshare's entire catalog of classes now offers subtitles in Spanish, French, Portuguese, and Dutch. Let's talk about Skillshare classes. I recently moved, and I finally live in a house that is not an apartment, and I have a big old kitchen, so I just started taking a class called Indoor Gardening. Grow houseplants, veggies, and herbs. I can grow them right in my home. YouTuber and scientist turned gardener Ekta Chaudhary from Garden Up is my teacher, and she is fantastic. She's helping me develop the perfect watering schedule for my plants. You guys know I love things on schedules. I'm also cultivating flowers to support bees and attract pollinators. It's important to support bees. Did you guys hear about all that stuff going on with bee theft in California? It's not just California bees. It's bees who are shipped to California from the East Coast to pollinate so we can grow almonds for the world, and the bees are getting stolen and no one's talking about this. So you should do what I'm doing and take a class to learn how to grow flowers that support bees. Also, you can grow your own food indoors. How about that? Explore your creativity at skillshare.com/QQ and get a 1 month free trial. That's 1 month free at skillshare.com/QQ.
I have a question about this place that you're living now, Dan.
Okay.
Because I assume that this has probably changed since you moved there. And I guess it's possible you just don't even have one at all. But what is your home invasion weapon?
Bat. Same as it was in my apartment.
It's a bat.
Yeah.
Is it a wooden bat or a steel one?
It's a wooden bat.
Okay. And where does it live in your place?
Should I be worried that home invaders are going to listen and then anticipate my moves?
I don't know. Yeah, I guess. Do you want to make up a place?
It lives by my door.
Okay. And is it accessible when you're sleeping?
No.
Okay. Why not?
Because I don't want to go over the layout of my house now. My bedroom is very far away from the doors.
Okay. But I mean, you think about the circumstances in which somebody might come in. They're now between you and the bat, most likely.
Yeah, that's true. I got to recalibrate.
And it would be a really great place if you have to go out into the street and kick some ass. Like if you see something out your window and you're like, ah, yeah. And on your way, you just grab that bat. But
that's what I'm anticipating. But you're saying someone might break in while I'm asleep.
Yeah, I don't know why that's a fear of mine. It's like statistically very, very unlikely. And if it is somebody who's breaking into your house while they know you're there, that's a bad enough situation that your bat's probably not going to help much.
No, and I feel like and like the bedroom is upstairs, so I feel like they're going to break in, steal the TV or whatever else they think is valuable downstairs, and then leave.
Yeah,
hopefully.
I had a bat for a long time. I did the same thing where I had a small, like a child's metal bat, because I wanted something that I could swing very easily in hallways and things like that. It's all ludicrous. I mean, none of this will ever actually happen, but first it just gives you peace of mind in some weird way.
Yeah.
I graduated to a new tool and I wanted to talk to you about it. I don't know if I have brought it up on this podcast before.
We've talked about bats as self-defense before.
Yeah, and that's what I previously had. Also, the handle of it started to get really crumbly and weird because it had been sitting in a closet next to my bed for so long.
Okay.
But I got what I use now and what I have next near my bed is a axe.
Ah!
Yeah, so I don't think it's more unwieldy and it probably is less dangerous even than what I previously had. But I have to think that the shock factor of somebody appearing at the door with an axe would be enough to like, that changes your mind about a lot of things.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so I'm hoping that's preventative in that way. I don't ever want to have to use an axe, but like the part of the reason The Shining, that whole scene in The Shining where Jack kills a man with an axe is like, it's horrifying because it's a fucking axe. Like it's, and if it's somebody who seems like they know what they're doing with an axe, you're like, oh, I shouldn't be here. There are other houses where they don't have axes or swords or whatever. And like, they'll go there.
Have you, like stood in the mirror and held the axe to perfect
see how it looked,
looking like someone who knows how to hold an axe?
Of course okay. I have. But I have used an axe. I mean, like I used to chop wood when I was younger. So I'm familiar with using an axe. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to like make sure you could, that was a visual trait.
Yeah.
So yeah, standing there and being like, okay,
right,
this
there's
looks
not
right.
A lot of, when you're chopping wood, there's not like a ton of, you're not trying to intimidate the wood first.
No. You really got to like look like you're practiced with it. And so of course I practiced with it. I also have a hatchet, but that's just part of like my go bag. I've got like an earthquake bag and there's a hatchet in it. And I feel like that could also be really, really scary to see someone coming, but in the dark, maybe it wouldn't even register as much as an axe. Like an axe, like you can't miss.
Axe is so nuts.
Yeah. It's a ludicrous thing to care to have, especially with my children who are like,
right.
Why is there an axe right here?
If I broke into your house, driving, I'd be like, he just had an axe loose. He's got two kids. And a cat sometimes.
Yeah, it's been a problem to have an axe. There's a high enough place where I could keep it now that's also very within the bedroom that I'm like, okay, well, this is it. This is where it lives now. But yeah, I think the only other I considered for a little while was like, what about a sword?
Yeah.
Or like, but I think that's, you're coming around the other side in that case, because there are a lot of people who collect swords who I would gladly break into their house.
My dad,
like, you can't hurt me.
For the longest time, my dad and he like knew actual karate and trained with different weapons and everything. He for almost my entire childhood had wooden nunchucks in his car.
Whoa!
Like wooden, like clearly used nunchucks. Weathered, capable nunchucks. And I was always like praying someone would rear end him and get mad and get out of the car just so my dad could walk out with nunchucks. And like, again, my dad could use them, but I think he also knows he would never have to, because if you're the same thing as you wanting to be seen with an axe, if someone gets out of the car with nunchucks, you're like, fuck, never mind.
Yeah.
It's fine. I don't want to. That guy has nunchucks. That's nuts. He wouldn't have those if he didn't know how to use them. He's going to fuck me up with those nunchucks. I got to go.
You just have to pick a weapon that's startling enough.
Yeah,
that just people like are like, oh fuck.
To calmly emerge from a Plymouth Voyager, twirling your nunchuck around, it's like, never. He wants it more than I do. Never mind. It's fine.
Doing that thing where it's like wrapped over your shoulder and you're grabbing it under your armpit with the other hand. I feel like, oh no. Yeah, like somebody getting out of their car with size. You'd be like, oh fuck. I don't even know how those work.
He had that in the front. He didn't go to the trunk for that. He had that. That's where I keep my chapstick. He had nunchucks. Fuck. Never mind. I'm going home. I would have to open my trunk and like move the volleyball and see if I had a tire iron. And he's already like closing the gap between us with his nunchucks. I gotta go.
Hypothetically, if you had your license and you could drive, would you have something in your vehicle as protection?
I have many weapons in my vehicle.
You have a lot. Yeah. You have more weapons in your vehicle than in your place?
Yes.
Yeah, that's where you think you're going to need it.
Yeah. And I also have a decoy wallet, and I don't know if that's helpful or not.
Wow.
If someone like stops me and asks for my wallet, I can physically hand them something that looks like it has a bunch of cards in it. And then they will hopefully go on their way.
Did you move to Haiti? Where are you going to need all this stuff?
I had this. That's what's interesting. I've had this forever, and I'm knocking on wood and crossing my fingers and doing all the superstitious stuff when I say the following. I don't think I'm going to need jack shit here, because the thing about this wonderful, peaceful, little quiet beach town is I'm on next door every day, and it's not like a crime heavy area, and it's not a sophisticated crime heavy area. Also, there are two things that come up on next door a lot, because like everybody who lives here, I'm the youngest person here by three or four generations. It's really my dream. I'm very happy here, and the complaints on next door, you'll see like scam alert, don't get taken in by this scam.
Yeah.
Someone's been going around calling landlines saying they're from the electric company. They want to come into your house and take your wires. I'm like, this doesn't apply to me. Not one single bit of this sentence is a real concern. Like, I could see you guys all really reacting to it strongly. Like, this is a fear that someone is going to pretend to be the electric company, call your landline, and then come in and take your wires.
Yeah.
You have every right to be scared of that. I'm not concerned. That's one of the crimes is wire theft from smooth talking con men.
Come to your house and steal all the copper. Yeah. That's great.
I have to assume like a 70-year-old burglar.
Yeah, a guy who still thinks that that's like a good way to make money.
And the other thing I hear, because this is such a quiet and peaceful town, you do hear about, I want to say car break-ins a lot, but it's specifically the things people warn you about on Nextdoor is like, there was another break-in last night at the car, and I caught it on video. Make sure you lock your cars. I'm like, what the fuck are you talking? Of course I lock my cars. Every car break-in that happens in this neighborhood is people leaving their cars unlocked at night.
Yeah.
All the time. And
that's
happening
in our house too.
Maybe it's 15 years of hardened living in Manhattan and Los Angeles, but I feel like even in the suburbs before that, you wouldn't leave your cars unlocked, and that's what everyone around here does. And like the video someone posted, it was like, this happened last night just outside my house. It's a black and white video of a guy checking the doors of a car. They're unlocked, so he gets in the car and like fills a cup up with change that he finds in the car and then like walks away. I'm like, all right. I mean,
barely a crime.
Yeah. It seems like that guy was maybe doing laundry and took a shot that you had $1.50 in quarters in your car and lucked out.
Yeah. If he's taking that risk for some nickels, then he needs those nickels more than you do. The same thing happens in our neighborhood. There's like break-ins in cars all the time. And when I say break-ins, somebody is just at 4 a.m. walking down the street, trying all the doors, getting one that opens, taking out the stuff. We had our neighbor's car get broken into that way because they left their car open. I'm with you. Crazy, crazy. Every single night before I go to bed, when I set the alarm on the house, I also go to the doors and the key fobs, and I just make sure both cars are locked.
Yeah, it's so nuts that my car has like 900 hidden weapons and a decoy wallet, and the most sophisticated criminals around here are like, ah, locked, beaten by the best again.
Shucks. Oh, the windows are all the way up?
Ah, he's always two steps ahead of us.
Fucking Fort Knox. They not only did they get their car broken into, but they got in the next morning and knew that it had been broken into because the glove box was shut, but the stuff from the glove box was laid out neatly on the passenger seat. So somebody went through the glove box and was like, okay, here's all their business cards. Don't need those. Here's a license registration. Okay, registration, in proof of insurance. Here we go, $20. And just like took that, but laid everything else out. And it's like the nicest criminals.
Yeah.
And I got to think this somehow this must be lucrative for them or they wouldn't keep doing it. They're just walking the streets and being like, okay, let's just find a car that's open and see if we can make $27 tonight.
Right. Because the fear is always that someone's going to steal your car and then you don't have a car or like they do crimes with your car or something. But per next door, it's always like someone broke into our car last night. I had gifts for my son and he took them. I'm like, well, that's pretty adorable. What a win for this guy. So much of wrapped presents. It's like, oh, I perfect. It would be crazy if this car was unlocked. It is? All right.
But also, just don't leave stuff like that in your car overnight.
Yeah.
Like, the lesson's learned at that point. Even on next door, you don't have to have it happen to you. You see it happen to one person, and you know, oh, I don't do that.
Yeah.
The same way when you, like, go to out camping and stuff, and you know that there are bears around, don't fucking leave food in your car. You know that the bear is going to be tempted. You know that these burglars are going to be tempted. Just don't do it, and you're going to be fine.
It's weird that I feel like the alien because I always lock my car, and like the thought had never occurred to me to do anything different because everyone else on next door is like, the same thing happened to me last week. Someone broke into my open car and took my juice and coins.
Well,
just someone posting on Nextdoor is like, everyone be afraid of this crime. Don't fall asleep outside your home with your mouth open. People are going to do stuff to
They're
you.
They're going to pour crickets in there. I keep a knife in my glove box, but I found that it's at the very beginning, I thought it was for a just in case scenario. But have since then found that it's really convenient to have a knife in your glove box because I constantly need a knife, like open packages and things like that.
Yeah.
That I'm pulling off people's doorsteps. but I before I had the knife in there, and the reason that I even put one in there in the first place was it's like a folding knife, but it's, I don't know, like maybe 6 inches in total. So like 3 inches of blade and 3 inches of hilt. And the reason that I got it was that I was in a Jack in the Box parking lot, not the drive-thru. And so I'm pinned in by other cars just waiting to get to the window. And I see this guy across the street. And there's like a tussle, a little bit of a tussle at a gas station. And this guy has gotten into another man's car as he's like pumping gas. And so this guy throws him out of his car and just keeps pumping his gas like, well, that's taken care of. And so this crazy man who's shirtless starts like anyone who will give him the time of day. He's like looking at him and he's got some shit for them. He wants to like dish something. And so he starts crossing the street because he's bored at the gas station and I'm just locked in and I'm like, okay. And he walks right up to my car and I'm not looking at him or anything. I'm just looking straight ahead, but not in that like, oh my God way, but in like, I'm an actor. I can do this. I just pretend that I've got other things going on. And he tries to get in my car, immediately starts like rattling the door handle. And because my car is in drive and it was made after 2008, it locks while it's in drive. And so he can't get in. And so I look over at him and he goes, open the door. And all I did was very slowly shake my head no. And he moved on. That was enough. And he went to the car in front of me and like would not leave them alone, like was all over their car. All over it. So I thought, like, what was it that I just did that was the right thing to do? Like, I kept replaying it, thinking there was something about the way that I just slowly said to him no that suggested to him, this is the wrong car.
Yeah.
And it could have been, you know, surely that was something going on with him that, like, my aura when he was on amphetamines looked different than theirs or something. But, like, I have to think that there was some element there that it was like, he's too calm. There's something in that car that I don't want to deal with.
Yeah.
and moved on. And I was like, how do I replicate that? I want to distill that and drink it.
Or maybe the people in front of you were just so terrible where he's like, open the door. And they were like, maybe. Yeah.
What's in it for us?
Yeah. How do I know you're not going to do crimes? You don't. Open the door.
Let me discuss it with my family. Anyway, while he was doing that with the car in front of us, it was clear that car wasn't going anywhere. And everyone else started kind of backing out. And I was like, well, I will do that as well. And so I had ordered food that I never got. And that's like not finishing a yawn or a sneeze. You're just like, you ordered it and you're like expecting it.
Right. And like, you're still hungry.
Yeah, I know. I had to go to a Del Taco. I didn't want Del Taco. Anyway.
That would fucking...
Clearly, I'm not over it.
I'd kill for some Del Taco right now.
Oh, that's right. You don't have Del Taco.
We don't have it out here.
Oh, man. What is your... What's the word? Not anagram. Analog. Analog? No. What's your equivalent?
We have... I guess the closest thing is like Taco Bell.
Oh, that's a bummer. Yeah.
But it's not... I want that Del Taco. I want a burrito with French fries in it.
Yeah.
And not even every Taco Bell is back on having potatoes in their burritos now.
I mean, you can get a potato taco at Taco Bell.
You can?
Yeah. It's not the same, though.
No. It's been so long since I've gotten fast food. And I would have more pride about saying that if I wasn't so certain that, like, it's out of my control. I'm going to have fast food sometime soon.
Yeah. So that's been by design that you haven't been eating it.
Yeah.
How's your, I mean, you're still running a lot and you're still working out every single day and now you're eating really well. Are you still seeing changes in your body?
Yeah. I'm trying to get, more definition.
Uh-huh.
Which is a vulnerable thing to admit on a podcast. I was like, oh, I just like to look better and be strong at the beach, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm still working on that. And that's kind of slow going. I might need to just change the kind of exercising that I've been doing. It sucks when my goal for so long was to just like lose weight and feel better. And everything I was doing was contributing to that. If you were unhealthy for a while and then suddenly you're running every day and exercising a lot and eating better and drinking a ton of water, then you just like the improvements you see just seem to like come in leaps and bounds. And now everything, maintaining where I'm at right now at this age requires a lot of work, and any improvements from here also requires a lot of work and different work and research that I need to just do.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy how much harder it gets to do anything, like make any sort of changes in your body than when you were younger, where you were garbage disposal and your body just formed into like that of a young 18 buck. It was no problem. I had a demoralizing moment the other day. And I know we talk about workouts and stuff a lot on this podcast, but just fucking bear with me, please, everybody. I had a moment the other day where I've been
I know
back
you guys
it.
Mostly tune in to hear about my singing.
I had a moment the other day where I was like, okay, well, I've been working out pretty regularly. I've been doing a lot of cardio, like I'm running to the gym basically, or biking to the gym and biking back. So like picking up a lot of mileage each week as well, in addition to a workout, and then also eating really well. And it was like a really demoralizing eating well, where I was eating kale stems, essentially. I was going to Whole Foods. And if you've not been to a Whole Foods salad bar in a while, those have fallen off. I don't know if the pandemic did it or what. But yeah, we used to go there for work. Remember, like at work every once in a while, and like they'd have great stuff, all kinds of great options. Now it's, you get your luxuries there are like shredded cabbage, shredded carrots, and then three different dressings you can choose from. It's rough. And sometimes they have pre-made salads that are just not like in a package or anything like that. They just do a big batch of this kale and sweet potato salad with a different kind of dressing. And so I was getting that, and they're not careful with their kale there. They're not peeling it, massaging it, or anything like that. It's like eating the bark of a tree because it's thick, stiff leaves and the stalk is right there on it. And it was rough. It was a tough week or so. And I was like starting to see some changes too, because I had been doing it for, I'd been working out long enough and I was getting excited about that. And then happened to see a picture of myself where I was sitting away from the camera facing the other direction. Wow. And sitting on the ground facing the other direction. And I was so crestfallen looking at my own back, looking at my lower back and the way that my shirt was stretched across it and the way that it was like the same size as my upper back. I was just like, I haven't had this viewpoint in forever. There's this whole part of me that I forgot to clean out. And now I'm like obsessed with it. Sure. Now that's all I can think about. It's like, yeah, okay, the front looks fine, but what about this back here?
Yeah.
What are you doing for that? So it's those moments where you think you're much closer than you are to where you want to be. And
yeah.
Then you catch a glimpse of like how far across the river it actually is.
Right. And also at our age, my main priority, like I say, I want definition. That's like a side goal. My main thing is I want to exercise in a way where I won't hurt myself forever. And yeah. Like, just like, what are some workouts I could do to just like not be bedridden in tremendous pain? Like, it's all about safety and having some kind of good form for myself at this point, which is, it's not a fun way to think about exercising.
No, but you're zeroing in on a routine that's tenable, that yeah. like could last you forever, and it wouldn't drive you crazy. It wouldn't make you miserable every single time you have to start it. It's just something that's like, okay, I've landed on a situation where I know it's going to take this much of my day, and I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
That's a hard thing to find.
I need to, one of the things I'm finding, trying to like put together a workout plan, because that's another thing. I've gone from like a child's idea to going to the gym, where it's just like, I'm going to do whatever I feel like. And like, I feel like doing arms today, so I do like some vague amount of arm exercises. So now it's like, let me have some kind of routine so I'm hitting all the muscle groups I'm supposed to hit, doing them in some kind of order that makes sense, and resting when I'm supposed to rest. And when I'm even Men's Health, a magazine and like fitness app that I love and trust, it's so goddamn humiliating to be a guy sometimes when you see what the world thinks it needs to do to cater to you, where like I found a workout that I like, but it's called like the superhero shred workout, and it's like, aww. You don't just call it like adult man workout. Like I don't need to be tricked into thinking I'm gonna be Chris Pratt in Guardians or anything like that. Like I don't. Yeah. There's always some kind of gimmick attached to it that makes me feel infantilized, especially when it works. When they're like, this is what the guy does to train Paul Rudd for Ant-Man. It's like, okay. I mean, that is the result I want. But like, stop using Marvel in all of the promotional materials for this exercise, please.
All right. Yeah. I do really appreciate that Mac from Always Sunny in Philadelphia did one of those.
Yeah.
And he was like, hey, if you want to be able to work out, I mean, or if you want to be shredded like me, here's how to do it. Quit your job. This is all you're going to be doing all day long.
Right.
You have millions of dollars saved up.
Have lots of money, have no fun, and just do this. And have this just be the thing that you do. And then you too can look like one of these people.
Well, I don't think I want to do another question here. I think
good.
We got enough. I think we've done.
We
enough.
Asked so many questions in this episode.
Did I think we did a good job?
Yeah.
So I'm just gonna end it.
Cool.
I'm gonna tell you where you can follow us if you want to, or you can speak to us.
Oh, there's gonna be a twist coming. Go ahead.
You can follow us at DOB_Inc. on Twitter.
No, that's you INC. Can't.
Oh,
my account's deactivated. You son of a bitch.
Wait a second. You didn't just protect it. You deactivated it?
It's gone.
I got this tremendous sense of loneliness just now. Like I thought I had this fleet with me, and it's everybody. I was just alone on a boat.
It's the way deactivation works is you have 30 days to go back, and then you can have like all of your followers and all of your content. If you don't do anything within 30 days, then it gets as permanently deleted as anything gets on the internet these days. So I still could just like get the itch and start back on Twitter, but it's been 24 hours so far, and my life's not worse.
No, how are you following the news of Ukraine?
I work for a political comedy website. We talk about it from time to time.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, you don't need Twitter. All right, you can follow me then. Follow me, Soren_LTD.
Did I say I work for a political comedy website?
Oh, I don't know. You mean YouTube? I think you should say.
It doesn't matter.
Show.
I hope I said website. I hope I said show and not website. Fuck, that doesn't sound right.
You can follow Quick Question at QQ_Soren and Dan. You can message them, I guess. I think the replies are open there. And now, it's actually great news for me that Daniel is off of Twitter, because I won't get notifications anymore from people saying like, hey, could you tell Dan to unblock me? You can follow our email, qqwithsorenanddaniel@gmail.com. And we have a producer and a sound engineer and an editor who's just outstanding at his job. And we've loved him all along.
I know you're just like vamping and filling space and time with words.
Yeah.
But I really liked that you threw in, and we've loved him all along.
That is such a clear stretch for time. We've loved him all. It means nothing.
He's great. I'm so proud of him. My strong and brilliant boy.
My heart goes out to him.
Yeah. In times like these, to see someone of such conviction.
Anyways, Gabe Harder, also we're on Patreon, and we're at patreon.com/quickquestion. If you do donate to our Patreon, then you are privy to some extra content that we do occasionally where we answer questions from you, the listeners. So check that out. And that's it. Goodbye.
Bye.